Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
To them all day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland.
Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation Baltimore Sports Talk. I am your endearingly sudden host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Soroka.
Hey, Matt. How's it going? It's been a different week of Orioles baseball since the last time we talked.
Has it?
A rough homestand.
Well, it was rough weekend. Last time we talked.
Was it rough last time, too?
I don't remember. I think we talked just after that debacle with Toronto.
All right. Well, hey, welcome to football season.
That's right. We can get to Lamar Jackson being afraid to run, perhaps being traded because his contract's up, squeaking by the Jets. We're also joined by the zany one, Bert Rohde.
What up, 336ers?
And look at that. You can hear him and he didn't cut out.
I got my snowball mic hooked up, operational. We are good to go.
He's at his desk. He's not just relaxing on the couch. It's like old times. We're back to doing a podcast.
Yeah, man. Got a lot to talk about.
You want old times, you got to go back to Arnold, okay? If you want old times. Right.
I know. We missed out on that this year at the Outer Banks. We'll get that back. Maybe over the holidays at some point. Get Bert down south.
Maybe. Or maybe there's just never, ever going back, Josh. Everything about that?
I mean, things are okay now, but I guarantee you and I will be back in Baltimore next year for some baseball games.
All right. Yeah, well, if the Orioles are good, I'll come back.
All right, we got opening day, and hopefully some playoffs to go back for next year.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
I'll be saving the money from this year.
It's true. Part of me, like financially, I'm dead broke with this move to make it. Part of me, to be honest, is a little bit happy. I'm not going to shell out airfare and tickets and merchandise and all that stuff. I don't want to say I'm happy and I still think the Orioles have a very real chance of making the playoffs. We can talk about that later, but I think they're very much in the playoff hunt. But if they don't make it, part of me is like, my financial self is grateful for that.
Oh, no. I definitely looked at it and was like, it'd be nice if Tampa could overtake New York. So then if the Orioles make it, the game will be in Tampa. And I can just drive over there and save some money.
Yeah.
And you can drive down and be a little more affordable. At the same time, I've told Kelly that next year, be prepared because the Orioles World Series, that's like where I max out all the credit cards. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. And is it comforting that the downfall of the Ravens, is it too early to say the downfall of the Ravens coincide with the rise of the Orioles?
See, I was looking at yesterday's at Sunday's game more thinking, Of course Burt wants to talk. It was Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson both on his TV at the same time. Of course he wants to come back onto this podcast. Wait,
were you wearing a Joe Flacco jersey or a Lamar Jackson jersey when you're watching the game?
Lamar Jackson jersey. Thank you very much. You were mistaking me for my brother and some other friends who are still kissing Joe Flacco's butt 10 years later. And so you guys are already writing them off after a 24-9 victory or whatever it was.
It's the New York Jets for one.
I'm joking. I think the Ravens are gonna be really good this year.
Yeah, but it is the Jets.
They need some of those pieces. Those injured pieces. I'm not gonna get
too excited yet.
Yeah. We'll see how good Miami had a big win this past week, so it'll be more of a challenge, I think.
Yeah, and Kansas City looks unstoppable.
Yeah, but it's still week one. Anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reminded just following the Orioles and just looking at some of the NFL games yesterday, you know, watching teams just choke, and it was really some really good games, actually, but how good the Ravens are year in and year out. I mean, Raven fans have very little to complain about because we always put a good squad on the field, unlike some other franchises.
Yeah.
Hey, is there true. Would it not work? Like, why is there? I was watching the Red Zone, and I'm 10 years too late. Finally watched the Red Zone. And for the end of the 1 o'clock games, it was amazing. They had like four screens.
Yeah.
Quiet. It was just incredible. Yes. Is there, I mean, I know all the baseball games, the majority of the baseball games start at 7 and then 10. Is there no equivalent like in baseball? How come baseball doesn't have a Red Zone? No,
the only equivalent was years ago when they did that game 162.
Yeah.
And you had excitement.
But why can't there be another channel on the MLB at Bat App shows runners in scoring positions in all these games?
Oh, I don't know about that. But what I've been doing is using going to MLB.tv instead of using the app. Have you guys done this? Have you watched the games on your computer?
I've never done that.
Oh, it's outstanding. It's so much better. Like right now I have the Oriole game on my computer over here on the side. And up in the screen is, you got the Oriole game real big. At the bottom, you get a scoreboard, and it shows you big pictures of who's pitching, who's batting. On the right hand side is the lineups and everything.
Oh, it's the same like down the iPad.
But here's where the kicker is. You know how on the iPad you can swipe down to see the different game scores at the top?
Yeah,
that's up there. But you can click on it, and I can do one big one in the middle. And three little ones on the small side where I watch four games at once, or I can do a grid of all four of them, or I can do two large ones. You can watch multiple games on the MLB. And I wish they would bring that to the app because it's outstanding on the computer.
I know towards the end of this MLB regular season, if you put on the MLB network towards the end of the night, they'll jump around to the action at all the games that matter at that point.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
So that's at least comparable. Like but, yeah. I mean, NFL is a different beast. You know, one game a week, it's a bigger deal.
And I don't think there's – I think there would be – if you did the – what would be the MLB scoring position channel instead of Red Zone?
Sure.
I think there would be dead times where it's like, no one's in scoring position – so we're going to watch this pitching duel.
Right.
And baseball's also different where like football, it's offense, offense, offense. The most exciting thing is offense. As fun as defense is, the offense is the exciting part where sometimes the baseball, the pitching duel is what you want to tune into. You want to get your alert when there's a no hitter, not when there's a random team that has a guy on second base.
Right.
Well, I guess my argument would be like, I don't want to flip around and click on random baseball games. But if I have a channel that was just showing me like when Otani was up or when Trout was up or when there was like bases loaded, like I would probably watch that.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to stick around these individual games.
Baseball, it was interesting to hear the commissioner talk about baseball a couple weeks ago.
We get some new rules too that they're just have just officially come next year. We'll get into that.
But it was interesting to hear him talk about, and this wasn't even All-Star break. This was 2 or 3 weeks ago. Maybe it was the end of trade deadline. And he was talking about the future of the game and stuff. And it was kind of leading into some of these rule changes that might happen that now will happen. But he was also talking about how he knows they need to fix the TV rights, that the TV rights are screwed up with the, you can't locally stream the and the blackouts. And, so, and he knows it's a complicated process as we've talked about on here before, because every team owns their own rights and sold them. So there's a million different contracts out there. But he's determined that they're going to fix that in the next 5 years. And that's one of their goals, is to fix that. And I think with that is where you get some of those rights back, where maybe baseball could do a thing like that instead of being stuck in this middle at ground area.
Yeah.
But even if they had a channel where you go, they jump to a game where a runner's in scoring position or Trout's up on a one run game or something like that. I like that idea, but it occurring next year and in future years when there's a pitch clock going on too. So we're also not sitting there twiddling our thumbs while he wiggles his elbow and rubs his nose and scratches his butt and rubs the baseball. And then 4.5 minutes later, he'll throw a pitch.
And then the umpire comes and checks the guy's hair.
Yeah. And you're right. I have seen MLB Network do that occasionally late at night as games are ending. It would be interesting for them to just do a show that starts at 7 o'clock and goes till whatever, midnight, 1 a.m., and that's what they do. They do their baseball talk about what's happened through the day, and, hey, let's take you to this game. Something exciting has happened in Detroit. Let's go here. Yeah, same thing.
And even if they go back a minute or a couple minutes to re-show you. Yeah. The home run or whatever.
Right.
NFL Red Zone does that too sometimes.
They do. They're exactly.
But like you said, it is an offense thing, especially with football. They're not on the Red Zone channel. They're not jumping to a game where the offense is backed up into their own red zone.
Right.
Nobody wants to see what the defense is going to do there. They're only caring when the offense is in the opposing team's red zone.
Right. I feel like Scott Hansen's excitement would not translate to baseball.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, that was total chaos at the end of the 1 o'clock games. And I also thought the red zone, maybe this was my own preconceived notions, but I thought it was just for like fantasy football guys. Like I just thought fantasy football guys like the red zone.
Well,
but
no, it was like entertaining. That's a huge part of it. Yeah.
Outside of fantasy football.
No, it's entertaining. I watch it all the time. Now, if you have the NFL ticket, they have another channel that's like the red zone, but it's for fantasy guys.
Okay.
And it's all focused on fantasy stats. And hey, I don't want to watch that. I want to see football.
I want a NFL channel where you can input your own fantasy team and it just jumps to those games where your players are.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
DirecTV tried that a few years ago where you would enter in like your favorite players, they called it, and it wouldn't jump to the game, but it would come up with a little box at the bottom to say, hey, Ray Rice just ran for 10 yards. Click to watch.
Sure.
Something like that. So they've tried it.
Can I make one other comment about the Ravens and then I'll get off it? It just made me laugh. Jason LaCampaca and others have mentioned that if Lamar Jackson isn't going to sign this extension, which by the way, the talk around the extension is so dumb. I can't even get past it, where people are criticizing Lamar or people are criticizing the Ravens when no one has any idea about any of the numbers. So right. I don't know how you can criticize anybody, but whatever. Go and do your thing. But they're saying, like, well, maybe we'll trade Lamar next year, according to Jason LaCampaca. And then he also said, well, once Dak Prescott got hurt, they should call the Ravens and trade Huntley. And could we be looking at a Ravens going into next year, not having a single quarterback, maybe open tryouts? Maybe we could try out for the quarterback position.
Well, why you moved out of Baltimore? Why are you listening to LaCampaca?
I can't get enough. No, it was just on Twitter. People retweeting him.
There's your insider. Inside news. The Ravens might not have a quarterback.
I mean, worst case scenario is that they just franchise him next year. They still have him under control to franchise him next year, right?
And they can do the next 2 years.
And they still won't get near that 230 guaranteed number. I think it'll be all right.
I really feel like it's a win-win situation because Lamar Jackson's going to bet on himself, and that's fine. But then if he's going to do that, it's Super Bowl or bust, in my opinion. And in that case, if he is as good as he says he is and he wins the Super Bowl, then we all win. We win the Super Bowl.
Right.
If he doesn't, then he's lost the bet on himself and the Ravens avoid spending $230 million or whatever it is. I don't know.
Right. And well, it's also like, I feel like, didn't Joe Flacco do the same thing?
Yeah.
And won the Super Bowl and got a good deal.
Like, acting like this has never happened before in football, that a player that has bet on himself. Joe Flacco did the same thing.
Aaron Judge is doing it right now.
He made all the money.
Sure. Yep.
Judge is doing it in baseball. Like, this happens all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Lamar's a little different because he doesn't have an agent that's out speaking about it, so you only hear directly from Lamar.
But he has a mother who cares. Yeah.
But it's not, but nothing new about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go do it.
At the end of the day, if it means we win a Super Bowl, I don't care. And I don't care.
Of course not. No.
I don't care.
But can I tell you why maybe you should care, Bert? What isn't not having a contract make it maybe a little less likely that we win the Super Bowl? Isn't one of the things that make Lamar Jackson great what he does in the running game? And not having a guaranteed deal outside of this year, won't that make him a little less likely to put his body out there?
No, I think it's the opposite. I think it's the opposite. He's betting on himself, which means he doesn't trust those wide receivers. He's going to run it himself.
Is that why he ran 20 times against the Jets? He didn't run at all against the Jets.
5 or 6 times?
It was the Jets. He shouldn't have even played the fourth quarter. It was the Jets.
All right, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I think whenever you have players playing for contracts, it can be great for the player and great for the team. So let's do it.
I don't think you ever see anyone pull back because of contract. Maybe not show up to practice or whatever, but not on the field.
I don't know.
I'm not mad about it. I'm fine with the situation as it is. I think if he wants to get paid more than the offer they originally had, then he's got to earn it. And he's put that on his own shoulders for this year.
I find that a little surprising coming from you, Bert, because you're a big Lamar Jackson guy. Your interest in the Ravens feels pretty tied to Lamar Jackson.
Totally. Maybe that is betting on Lamar Jackson, my own self. I bought a big fancy jersey. I want to wear it a few more years.
Yeah. You don't want to go to Costco at 1 o'clock on Sundays.
No.
You got back on board with the Ravens thanks to Lamar because of him being exciting to watch. There was nothing exciting though on Sunday. They won, but it was a pretty boring game.
It was a boring first half. I like those touchdown passes. I'm on board with that. I like him shutting them people up that say he can't throw a touchdown. Can't throw. He doesn't have the arm. Well, here's a 55-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, right on the money. And caught, thanks to trade away Hollywood Brown. They're actually catching the ball. Yeah. That's a good thing, too.
All right. So you want to talk some baseball?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. We got Bert's story time today. Also, just update on the wild card chase. Right now we're playing the Nationals. Really interesting. Right before we came on the show, former Oriole great Hunter Harvey, I got the bobblehead upstairs, pitching against Adley Rutschman in a classic battle of top Oriole stars, except one's a National now. You know, Hunter Harvey's thrown more games this year for the Nationals than he did with his entire career for the Orioles. Isn't that kind of wild?
I believe it.
That's crazy.
And he's having a good year. ERA of 2.79. More strikeouts and innings pitched. Hunter Harvey's having a good year.
You know, he and Ryan Mountcastle are close friends.
Oh, really? Still?
Because they were in that system all together. And you know what Mountcastle did when he faced Hunter Harvey tonight?
He had a home run.
He hit a home run.
Yeah, man.
And Adley had a double.
Yeah. It's a nice way to set up your nice way to deal with your friendship.
Yeah, he'll be getting some text messages about that. But it makes me happy actually to see Hunter Harvey healthy, because I always liked Hunter Harvey and I'm just glad the dude's healthy and can pitch. Because I thought when he left the Orioles, I thought he's done skis because he just can never stay healthy. So that's good.
Yeah. Still kind of a bust. Like he's on the Nats. He's on the Nats because they suck.
Yeah.
It's not like he's a good pitcher. He's not what he was supposed to be.
Yeah,
but this 3.0 or whatever.
This is a chance to have him kind of redeem his career maybe and get another chance. So hopefully he does. But yeah, he was supposed to be a starter and then got hurt, then bullpen, and then got hurt in the bullpen. But he was throwing 100 miles per hour there, so it was good to see.
Yep.
We lost 3 out of 4 to Toronto.
Yep.
Then we lost 2 out of 3 to Boston. So much for just one series.
Well, and that Saturday game was just ugly.
Yeah.
Was that 17-3 or something?
Yeah.
What was that? Yeah, Ryan McKenna was thrown in there to pitch in the last inning.
I mean, that was the only fun part, was seeing McKenna pitch.
Hey, and Ryan McKenna, I always complain about pitchers throwing 30 miles per hour. Ryan McKenna was throwing some heat. He was getting up in the 70s. That's how all these pitchers should pitch.
Yes.
Give me a slider. Give me a curveball. Throw a fastball in the 70. I know everyone can do it. Went lofting in 40 miles per hour like you're a little leaguer. Get out of here.
I am impressed that you were still watching it when he was in the game to even see what his speed was.
I know. And I was like analyzing his throws too. I was paying way too much attention.
Right.
But even despite all that, Josh, we're still, and Bert, we're still just 5.5 games out.
Right.
And it's really
a bunch of Toronto left.
A bunch of Toronto left.
Six games, I think, with Toronto.
Yeah. And there's really just four teams left in the race. I mean, you can say maybe the White Sox, but now they're 7 games out. And there's no one else even close. So it's really just this four teams. So my argument is, if Seattle, Tampa Bay, or Toronto, if any of them struggle and like lose, you know, 7 out of 10 games, all of a sudden we're right back in there. It just takes one team to struggle, assuming we can, well, you know, win some games here.
Yeah, I feel like it's really on how we play Toronto. Because we have those 6 games with Toronto. Then we got Detroit. Next week, Detroit's. Yeah. We should be able to like we got a win series, and include a win series against Toronto in order to really take it, because we got Toronto, Houston, and New York left on our schedule. They're all good teams.
Yeah,
we got Detroit and Boston that we really need to take advantage of, but we blew our opportunity with Boston this weekend.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a good opportunity. Yeah, it was a good opportunity to gain a little ground, and we didn't. I think it was on Saturday too that all the wildcard teams lost, and
yeah,
we had a chance to gain ground and we didn't. But still, I'm not ready. According to FanGraphs, we're down to 1.4% chance. So hey, I look at that as you're telling me that we started.
Yeah,
telling me there's still a chance.
It's still better than the 0.2 at the beginning of the season or whatever.
Yeah, we have a better chance of making playoffs now than we did at the beginning of the season. So. Yep. Yeah, I'm not ready to wave the white flag. There's plenty of time to wave the white flag, but I'm still with this team. I'm still scoreboard watching.
Yeah, no, I am too, and it'll be as long as we can take some this weekend. If we get swept this weekend, I'm not going to be hopeful.
No,
we also have Thursday is our last off day of the season.
Yeah, so a lot of off days. We had off day yesterday. Now we have off day Thursday. Do these guys ever play?
All right. I know. No, I wish we would have had three games against the Nats.
Even if we had 5 off days in a week, Hyde would still punt the lineup on Sunday. Don't worry.
That lineup Sunday was so ugly.
It's joke. Like, no wonder we lose really 1-0. It's embarrassing.
You go out there. We all praise. They have the tough doubleheader loss against Toronto. And then they come back on Tuesday, and Hyde just manages the crap out of that bullpen and gets us the win. And we're like, all right, Hyde's taking this serious. And then he puts out lineups like that where you're like, what's going on? How can you be manager of the year and that's who you're putting out there on Sundays?
Yep. If I know the Angelos brothers aren't involved, and I don't know if you even want to get into it. There's another article written on the banner, an update on the Angels lawsuit, which I find endlessly fascinating. Another Brady Anderson update. But
it's all just brothers arguing. It's brother drama.
I can't take enough of it. I love it so much. I'm so happy the banner is running articles about it because no one else is touching it. But anyway, if I was owning the team, even if I wasn't involved, I would see that Sunday lineup and I would call Hyde into my office and say, Hyde, what are you doing, dude?
Hyde. What about Gunner, Adley, Stowers, McKenna? All these guys that are the future, and you can't fit any of them into your lineup.
No, McKenna was leading off.
Oh, yeah, McKenna was
0-3.
All right, McKenna was in there. Stowers wasn't.
Stowers, so, Mullins, Henderson, all of them were out. Yeah, yeah.
But don't worry, Aguilar was DHing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And right. Chirinos was catching, and Odor's playing second, and Hayes, who hasn't hit a ball in a month. Nobody cared about taking that series, apparently.
I know. And this is a time where September, you're behind the playoff chase. Like, you can rest your guys at the end of September if you don't make it. Now is the time, pedal to the metal, man. I don't care if guys aren't sleeping. I don't care if they're hurt, sore.
And the players themselves don't care either.
And if you're going to lose with your best players. I don't think this is a crazy take. Lose with your best players if you're going to lose.
Right. Especially after that embarrassment on Saturday. It's like, all right, well, we need to win Sunday. And you don't even try.
Yeah.
Especially Sunday was a 1-0 loss.
Yep.
So you're telling me if you put a real baseball player in there, they couldn't score 2 runs?
So these other teams like Tampa, Toronto, Seattle, Cleveland.
Yeah.
How many other teams are in the playoff race? You think they're resting their starters or playing the matchups because Rutschman doesn't bat as well against left-handed pitchers? No, he's your best option. Put him in the lineup.
How many days off does Aaron Judge get?
Probably not many.
same number as the entire team.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. On a day like Sunday, it felt like the fans are the only ones who care about winning that series.
Oh, yeah. And it was clear that the fans were ticked off. I was like, Sunday, I was like, all right, well, I thought I was going to watch the Oriole game and have the Ravens on the little TV. But nope. Why even watch the Oriole game when you're putting that crap out there?
I didn't watch a lick of it.
I checked it on my phone. That's about it. I put the Red Zone on the other TV.
And it's not like we're playing a dominant lefty. It was Rich Hill, a 50-year-old Rich Hill. Hill in September, his first start in September, four innings pitched, four runs. Five runs. Against the Orioles, five innings pitched, no runs, two hits. What are you talking about? Rich Hill.
No, he didn't shut out the Orioles. He shut out the scrubs wearing the Oriole uniforms.
Last place Boston team, and you lose one. And especially,
you said, who cares? Run everyone down on Sunday. You have Tuesday and Thursday off.
Yeah, two off days that week.
And you got to make a statement. You got to bounce back from that ugly loss.
The more I hear you guys talk about it, the worse it even sounds. It was bad enough in my own head.
Not to mention, I then had to deal with an entire Monday of no baseball. And then my only memory up to now is, at least we get to play the Nats because this weekend sucked. And the Scrubs could probably even beat the Nats.
It was an off day on Monday. That is the kicker right there. Unbelievable. Who needed 2 days off in a row in the middle of a pennant race or a wild card race? The pennant's out of reach, but still.
That might be enough to make me all right with saying, all right, you know what? I don't want Brandon Hyde next year when the team's good. And I'm a Brandon Hyde fan.
That's his call, I assume.
It has to be.
What a joke.
Yeah, it's his call with the lineup. But then other stuff, I have so much confidence in Mike Elias and what he's doing. But then what he's done this year with Brett Phillips and Aguilar, it makes me question everything.
Mike Elias is sabotaging the team.
It doesn't make any sense. And it's not like Aguilar is a position of need. He's DHing most of the time. And in a time where you could put Sunday, Rutschman in there, Stowers in there, Mullins in there, Henderson in there, talented baseball players. But 32-year-old Aguilar is taking up a roster spot to play DH. What? Doesn't make any sense.
And you've had Adley and Gunnar work out at first base in the minors so they could get some time there to give Mountcastle time off. So you had that need. You didn't need another guy to come in to give Mountcastle a break from first base.
Yeah, but he's been used mostly at DH anyway.
So it's because the old guy sits there and Brandon Hyde's coaching like he's coaching Little League. I got to get all these players in.
Yeah. Well, but why is he even on the team is what I would question.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, he was DH in Sunday. That's what,
Right. It's complete crap.
There's literally no one else that has a better than a .249 average that could be DHing who just needs a break from playing defense. That's fine. I can understand that. He can still swing a bat.
But they're lefties, and you have a left-handed pitcher, so we can't do it.
is this a professional baseball team or a college team?
This is what concerns me. It's fine. It's not fine. It's terrible. But what about next year when we have a really good team and really talented players? I'm concerned they're going to do something stupid like this again.
We're back to, remember in Buck Showalter had a period too, where Sundays were like crap games, where it's like, you don't want the Sunday plan. The Sunday plan guys didn't see a win for 8 weeks in a row or something.
Yeah.
You can't have that.
And we're at the point where we don't need to have it. We don't need to have it because this is not like it was at the beginning of the year or last year, the year before. We're so talented and we have depth. We didn't have that depth for forever.
We
have guys like Vavra and Stowers on our bench.
We had a list of six people that didn't play on Sunday that would have been better anywhere in that lineup.
Yes.
So we've got depth.
Yeah. I know. And that's the thing because, and so next year, here's what these are. These are experiments. Aguilar's an experiment. Can we catch what he did 3 years ago? Brett Phillips, can we catch what he did 3 years? These are experiments. I hope this is the last year we see any freaking experiments. I'm done with experiments. Give me our guys we know are good. Get rid of the experiments.
Yeah, works with me. I mean, yeah, that was the Matt Harvey experience last year.
Yeah, and amazingly, I'm kind of amazed. He has made his way to the big leagues.
Yeah, I haven't checked his numbers. He must be really struggling in Norfolk.
Well, I don't think there's room for him here, right? Like,
I guess not. I guess the pitchers have been surprising. I mean, the next Grayson is in Norfolk this week. Does that mean he's coming up to Baltimore soon? Like, he could get, if he's at Norfolk level, he could get the call at any time now, right?
He said, after resting, he said his arm hadn't felt so good since high school.
That's good. I like hearing that.
For a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean, he got crushed at Bowie the other day, but you never know with those games.
Right. You never know what they're working on.
Yeah.
They could tell him, hey, throw all fastballs today.
Yeah, he was just getting his pitches in. But, yeah, he goes back up to Norfolk. So, I don't know if it matters how he pitches. And I assume – see, I don't know. I don't know, because here's the thing that I wonder about. And then we'll get into Bert's story time. If you add Grayson Rodriguez, the thing I'm stressing me out already this offseason is we're going to run out of 40-man spots.
Right.
Because you have 40-man now.
Yeah, but and then you have get to rid sign. Of Aguilera. You just get rid of Aguilera. You're fine.
I know, but you got to sign three guys or four guys this offseason. Plus, there's a bunch of guys. I have to look at who's on the Rule 5 list. Grayson Rodriguez is on there. There's other guys you want to put on the 40-man roster next year.
You mean to protect. That you have to protect.
So not putting Grayson on the 40-man this year, but you have to in the offseason. So it doesn't really matter, actually. Never mind. I changed my mind. Yeah, he'll pitch in September. He'll pitch, and I think he'll pitch in 2 weeks. He'll get one, maybe two starts for the Orioles.
Just hopefully can't be on the playoff roster.
I hope so, but I also am like, would they do that? Or is Mike Elias, like, he'd have to give up Aguilera or someone a spot. So would he just say no? Like, he doesn't seem to care about winning this year.
I know, but in the offseason, you got to give away the spots anyway. So why not give him away now as opposed to just the offseason? Because he's on the Rule 5 list. So he'll have to be added in the offseason. So why not just add him now?
Because that's what the fans want. And Mike Elias does not like to do what the fans want.
Yeah, well, I think he'll be added. And I think I'll pitch, but we shall see.
If he's calling up a pitcher like Rodriguez, wouldn't they just option a bullpen arm? Some guy that's not doing anything.
But that keeps him on the 40 man.
Oh.
So it's all about making him on the 40 man.
Yeah, but we got some bullpen guys that don't need to be there. I don't know who this guy Jake Reed is. We just caught up. All right. Hey, let's get to some story time. That's why we're all here. Let's cut the preamble and get to story time.
We'll head over to Birdland. It's Oriole Park or somewhere else. Fun will never end. Bird story time.
Hey, boys. Welcome to the story.
Happy to be here.
Well, last time I was on the show, I mentioned that it was about a month ago. I was going to take my son on another baseball road trip over Labor Day weekend. So that was last weekend before. We headed up to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Saturday morning of Labor Day weekend. It was about a 4.5-hour drive. Checked in at Radisson right across the street from PNC Park for a 6:40 game time, which I just mentioned, you know, we played in Cleveland a couple weeks ago with those 6:40 game starts. Yeah. Incredible. I love that.
Yes, me too.
The perfect time to start a baseball game.
Yes.
It's over by 9.
You get those 25 extra minutes at night. Yes.
Heck yeah. Right. Makes a huge difference. So it was my first visit to PNC Park. I'd been to Pittsburgh before, but it was many, many years ago. They were playing the Toronto Blue Jays. So of course we were going to cheer for the home team. We wanted the Pittsburgh Pirates to win. And, we got in there early. We walked around the ballpark, explored.
What you wearing, Bert? Do you go in Orioles gear? Do you go in Pirates gear?
Fortunately, I have a Pirate tattoo on my arm. It has nothing to do with the Pittsburgh baseball team, but I have an affinity for the criminals of the sea, as it were, the Pirates of the Golden Age. So I have a t-shirt with a skull and crossbones on it. I just wore that.
Okay.
It didn't have anything to do with baseball, but also I do have a Pittsburgh Pirates camouflage baseball cap. I wore that, but that's mostly because of my fantasy football team, which is called the Camo Pirates. So I have a camo pirate hat. So I wore that too. So okay, we're supporting the home team. Sure. My son has a Clemente jersey, so he wore that. And part of our deal is we visit these ballparks, he buys a cap from each stadium. So he got himself a Pittsburgh Pirates ball cap too. So he was decked out in his Pirates gear. I was all fine with that. I might have brought this up last time I was on, but it's like our father's generation, your dad and my dad, they have a serious distaste for the Pirates because of the 70s and losing or beating the Orioles in the World Series. And
yeah, there's a rivalry there with the Orioles and the Pirates.
Huge. Sure. Yeah, the We Are Family years and all that stuff, which I can understand, but that was before my time. So, I mean, I don't like the Pirates, but I don't hate them as much as our dads do.
But in our time, they always stink and trade away their best players. So we feel a little pity for the Pirates.
They're kind of harmless, really. Seeing O'Neill Cruz, that was a treat.
Oh yeah,
he's a superstar. Yeah. He had a double during the game. Oh, before the game even started, I did not plan this whatsoever. We just got the luck of the draw. They were doing their Pittsburgh Pirates Hall of Fame induction ceremony before the game, so they had like a 40-minute ceremony before the game even started, where they brought out all the living members of the Pirates Hall of Fame and also family members and descendants of those who have passed. Like, they had Roberto Clemente's sons and his grandson, Roberto Clemente III, his little boy. And Bill Mazeroski was there. They were inducting Dave Parker into their Hall of Fame, so he was there. So it was cool seeing a lot of the all-time greats for Pittsburgh. Willie Stengel's family was there. The ballpark is incredible.
It
has a good reputation.
It's often compared to, you know, being one of the best ballparks outside of Camden Yards.
It's very cool. It's right on the water there on the river, the Allegheny River. They got the bridges. There's a bunch of the bridges that are all painted yellow, so it's a cool backdrop. All the skyscrapers in the background. So, and it's real open in the outfield, so you see, it's a nice view of the city and the bridge and the river. There's no big
hotel blocking the city.
No. It's very open. Yeah. They have statues. Oh, they had Honus Wagner's like great grandchildren were there.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It was really cool. They have four main statues there, similar to our statue park, but Clemente, Willie Stengel, Honus Wagner, and Bill Mazeroski each have a very big statue around the stadium. Cool. They have a little park of all the retired numbers, so all that was all cool. Great things for the kids, playgrounds. Albie was all into that. There was a very heavy Blue Jays presence in the ballpark and all around the city of Pittsburgh. And that, that kind of made me sick. I'm finding myself, I hate the Blue Jays going back to our childhood from the why not, the Cito sucks and the why not year. I hate the Blue Jays almost as much as I hate the Yankees and the Red Sox. It's very, very close how much I'm kind of indifferent with the Tampa Bay Rays because I hate the Blue Jays and I hate their fans almost
as much
as their
fan base really is obnoxious.
Yeah. They suck.
And their team is always trying to fight people. Chill out, guys. Their manager's always barking at somebody. Manager, sit down, dude.
And it didn't work out good because the Blue Jays did end up winning. We cheered hard for the Pirates, but was for nothing. Blue Jays won.
With the return of the Hall of Famers, was it a big crowd?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it was sold out, but it was a good crowd. It was a good crowd, but it was a lot of blue. I would say almost 50% blue, to be honest. Yeah. A lot of Blue Jays fans.
Hey, just real quick, speaking of attendance, Josh, I bet they announced attendance for Nationals game tonight. It's 25,000. Look at that stadium and tell me there's 5,000 people there.
Oh, I know. We had this discussion. I mean, I can't tell. They keep doing all the close shots.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell at Nats Park because they've got the upper deck like up in the clouds.
Why is there no one there, but the attendance is going to be 25,000?
Because it's season ticket holders.
That's a lot of season ticket holders for a team that you knew was not going to be good. I don't know.
Yeah, but the team won the World Series, 5 years ago?
So they still have the season tickets from 5 years ago?
I think so, yeah.
Even though they traded away all their good players?
I mean, we talked about the Ravens and how a Super Bowl buys you 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah.
Goodwill. I would venture to guess there'd be a much heavier Orioles presence down at Nats Park tonight if we hadn't crapped the bed on Sunday with that terrible lineup.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know. I can't get over that. I did go back after our discussion last week and looked, and the Nats always have around 25,000 to 26,000, no matter what.
But if you watch their games, they don't.
No.
Because that would be over half a full stadium. Yeah.
Right. But the Orioles, but that's the sad part. When the Orioles announce 9,000 people, that's including season ticket holders.
Yeah. I'm tempted to go tomorrow night to Nats Park. My son was asking to go. I said, maybe if they win tonight, I'll go. I might go to Washington tomorrow. But if they lose to the Nationals, I am not going. I'm not spending any money. Give me a break.
Well, you experienced this too, Bert, and I know Josh and I experienced this. It's hard to go to Nationals, just watch a game with the peasants when you've watched a game down there in the box seats in the behind the catcher. That's a whole different world.
That's true.
For Nats Park. Yeah.
Yeah. I would go to any game, the Nats playing anybody, if I can get those tickets. But
I'd be getting on StubHub looking for Diamond Club seats. Yeah, Diamond Club. So back to Labor Day weekend. The next morning after Pittsburgh, we had a great time. I would highly recommend anyone visiting Pittsburgh for their baseball stadium.
It's on my list along with all the other stadiums.
It was very, very cool. I would do it again. The next morning, we headed out 2 hours further northwest to the city of Cleveland. We checked into our hotel right next to Progressive Field, and that was for a 2:40 game. It was a day game.
Okay. First time in Cleveland?
No, I'd actually been to that ballpark back when it was called Jacobs Field. You guys went a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When they played the Orioles?
Yes. Yeah. That was now 6 years ago or something.
It was when we were doing the podcast, I think.
Yeah, it was back in the Baltimore Sports Report days.
Because we saw, who did we see there? We saw, was it Sam Dingman?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was Sam Dingman.
Yeah.
I remember you guys talking about that. I don't have to say a whole lot about it. The ballpark is very cool. I think it's the first new ballpark that came after Camden Yards. So it does have a lot of similarities as far as the layout and stuff, but both PNC Park in Pittsburgh and Progressive Field in Cleveland and Nats Park and a lot of the newer parks I've been to have that open air concourse where you can just be walking around and still see the game.
Yes, I like that. Yeah,
I kind of really, really like that.
It reminds me of all the minor league stadiums, but but it still works. It's cool. It makes you wonder why Camden Yards, I can't watch.
Yeah.
2 innings, we have to wait in a long line. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can be standing in the beer line and still see the game with your own eyes right there. Whereas at Camden Yards, not only can't you see the game, there's a 50-50 chance the television also won't be working right above the beer stand.
And make sure you bring your glasses because they're small televisions.
Yeah, and they're televisions from about 2010, so they're not HD. The color's all whack. It's that's an upgrade I'd recommend. If they can't knock down the walls to make it open air, at least upgrade the televisions at the beer lines. I'll talk to Mike Elias about that next time I see him. But here's the thing at Cleveland. I guess this could make it a story. They were calling for rain all day in Cleveland. I was like, man, we came all the way up here. At least just get the game in or half the game or whatever. The game starts. They play about 2.5 innings, and then it is just pouring and pouring. And they pause the game, and they have an awesome kids area there. Probably one of the best kids areas I've ever seen. They've basically taken this whole section in the middle level and made it a kids area. So there's playgrounds, there's activities, there's music, it's tons of stuff for kids. The most I've ever seen for kids at any Major League Baseball stadium. So it was a great time killer. And we spent two and a half hours up there during the rain delay until we get to a certain point. I just can't take it anymore. And our hotel's right across the street. I'm like, look, we got to come. We got to see a little bit of the game. They were playing the Seattle Mariners. So again, we're cheering for the Cleveland Guardians to win because we want them to beat the Mariners. And the Mariners were winning, but it was only 2.5 innings of baseball. So we go back to the hotel, but on the way out, the ticket gate people, ushers, whatever they are, they scan the tickets on my phone. They said, if the game gets restarted, you can come back in. Re-entry. So
that's nice. So it's like you're leaving an amusement park or something.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was interesting because it was game three of a three-game series. No off days. Seattle's not coming back to Cleveland to make up half a baseball game. They're getting this game in no matter what. So we left. We went back to the hotel. We chilled out for a bit. We walked to a restaurant next door. 4.5 hours later, they start the game back up.
Wow.
And because we're so close, look, I mean, it's like 9 o'clock at night at this point. I'm like, if you want, we can just go to bed. We can go to the hotel or the game's right there. We can go back. Albie's like, let's go. So sure enough, 9 o'clock, we go walking back through the gates with
you
our
and 10 other
tickets.
People.
It was maybe 200 people in the whole stadium. It was literally yell and the players can hear you. It was a very cool. There was only one concession stand open in the whole stadium. We stayed till the end. I think it was like 11 o'clock. They finally finished the game. Oh, it went to extra innings too. These poor people who work there were just like soaking wet from being out there in the rain all day. They'd been sitting around twiddling their thumbs for a 4.5 hour rain delay.
Yeah,
and then Cleveland comes.
Hour day.
Cleveland comebacks and ties it in the bottom of the ninth. So we're going to extra innings. We went hung out by the bullpens, which they have stacked bullpens like Camden Yards, another comparable thing. And we got two baseballs, two Seattle relief pitchers tossed baseballs up to us.
Oh, that's cool.
They had a lot of cool statues too. They had a Jim Tomei statue. They had a Frank Robinson statue. But it was like a managerial Frank Robinson, you know, because he was the first African-American manager
in
Major League Baseball. So his statue is similar to our Earl Weaver statue, where he's just wearing a jacket, no glove, no bat. And he's actually holding a lineup card in his statue. And if you go up to the lineup card, it's the actual lineup from that first game that he was the manager for the Cleveland Indians. Yeah.
That's cool.
He was a player manager, so he is on his own lineup card, like batting third, playing right field. And Boog Powell's on that lineup card because he played for Cleveland under Frank Robinson as well. So some trivia, Bert's trivia as well.
Yeah, I feel like unlike Pittsburgh, with our generation, there is a lot of, I don't know, Cleveland Oral connections. I loved watching Kenny Lofton growing up, and you think of Albert Bell.
Roberto Alomar,
Manny Ramirez, Roberto Alomar. I feel like they're that's a team that was really good in the mid to late 90s when the Orioles were also good. And there was some fun games.
They have a whole, I forget what they call the area, you know, Heritage Park or something like that, where we just walked through and just looked at some of these names and pictures. I was like, holy crap. Yeah, I forget about how many superstars played in Cleveland. It was very impressive. You just spouted off a good chunk of them. But that was a crazy experience just with the whole rain delay and being able to go back in. I don't think I've ever left a ballpark and come back after a long delay That was very, very cool. The next morning we did swing by the Christmas Story house before heading home to Baltimore.
He has to.
Labor Day and it was closed. So we took some pictures outside, but we didn't get to go inside.
So you couldn't get a lampshade ornament or something?
No, but the leg lamp was in the window. So we got pictures and stuff. I would go back to Cleveland. I would go back to both, but I would specifically like to go back to Cleveland again because there is so much more to do in Cleveland, whereas we were only there for maybe 24 hours tops.
Right.
You didn't do the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame either?
No, I did that in high school, but I want to go back. I want to do that. Yeah. I want to do the Christmas Story House. Interesting to me, I just got a vibe from every person there, and they were, I think they're still in first place in the Central, right? The Guardians?
I think so.
They're flip-flopping with Minnesota, maybe. Yeah,
it's not the Twins are going at it, but yeah, I think
yeah. Everybody I met is just the most humglum, down in the dumps. Maybe miserable is a strong word, but nobody was happy in Cleveland.
So it's like the movie Major League.
Kind of, yeah. Like I know they're the Browns stink.
Maybe just since football season was about to start.
LeBron's not there anymore. Like the Cavaliers Arena is right next to Progressive Field. So that there's a lot of Cavs stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
But
I think the championships with the Cavs, they had success there.
I kind of felt bad. I was like, oh man, you're in first place, right? Like why is everybody so grumpy? that was interesting. But yeah, there's a lot to do in Cleveland. I would go back and spend more than 24 hours there. I would go back when the Orioles play again. I don't care to go see them play the Mariners again, but next time the Orioles are there, if it works out, I would go. And I did wear an Orioles cap to that game, regardless of who they were playing.
Okay. No, I think the cap is good. I don't mind seeing a baseball cap of another team. It's when the Orioles are playing like the Red Sox and there's someone in an Astros jersey that's annoying.
Yeah, that's stupid.
The jersey's annoying. The cap, I understand.
It's funny how this works out though, because like I was wearing an Orioles cap, and sure enough, like every usher, everybody you come across at Progressive Field is like, "Hey, Orioles, you know they were just here, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, I know. I'm an Orioles fan, and we took 2 or 3 from you in Cleveland. I know. I just couldn't come. I couldn't come in the middle of the week, so I'm here on the weekend." And last year when me and Abby went to Philadelphia, I wore an Orioles cap. And they're all like, "Oh, you know, the Orioles are coming to town this weekend to play the Phillies." I'm like, "I know. I'm aware of the schedule. I can't come next weekend, but I could come tonight. So I'm here."
Maybe they thought you like just picked the wrong week. You didn't realize.
Yeah. I must look like a dum-dum. I know these things.
Right. You didn't remind them. Well, it's Labor Day weekend. Kids off now.
Seriously, this is like the only time we could go. Yeah, we're good.
I like to make connections with the outfit. We went to Macon Bacon game here in Macon because that's all we got. And I wore my Delmarva Scrapple shirt, making the connection with, you know, Bacon and Scrapple. Got a couple comments about it.
Did they know what Scrapple was?
Yeah, the couple comments were people who actually knew what it was. And anyone who knows what Scrapple is very enthusiastic about the Scrapple. So they were both very enthusiastic about Scrapple.
When I went to college in Nashville, and I remember going to the grocery store and asking for Scrapple, and they looked at me like I was crazy. Like, I have no idea what that is. I'm like, I would assume Scrapple would be like, you know, hillbilly food in Tennessee.
Yeah.
They had no idea what it was.
In the South too. Yeah.
It was very disappointing. One other small point I just wanted to share with you.
Was that it? Was those the two stadiums? That's it?
That was it. And then we headed back the next day. Yeah. It was a little whirlwind. But it was a great time.
No, it's a great weekend.
We went to Camden Yards last Friday, the game 1 of the Boston series, which we won. That's the only one we won against Boston. Yeah.
Yeah. What type of curse did you put on at the end of the game?
Nothing. I thought we gave them good luck. So, you know, as we are wont to do, we got there early. We head down to the side by the Orioles dugout. Albie's trying to get some autographs. None of the players were signing. One of the bullpen coaches came up and signed. It's not the pitching coach. I have no idea who the guy was. I couldn't see his jersey. But he did talk to the kids and he signed their baseballs and he got his little like zipper pouch out with a thing of athletic tape. And he grabbed the kids' wrists and wrapped athletic tape around their wrists. I guess he does for the players. And then he gave him a Sharpie and said, write the number of your favorite Orioles player on this masking tape, on this athletic tape on your wrist, and that'll be good luck for that player in tonight's game. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Nothing to do.
That's different. That's different. That's
different, right?
Yeah, I definitely haven't heard that before.
Albie put 21 for Austin Hayes, and he proceeded to go 0-for-4 or something, but yeah. Didn't work for him. But then Joey Crable did come up, and we thought something special was about to happen because Crable puts his glove on the wall right there. And he's like, says to Albie, you want to autograph my glove? And Albie like pulls the cap off his Sharpie and gets ready. And Crable takes the glove back. He's like, I was joking, kid. This is my work equipment. You cannot write on this.
He was joking. Their hopes up and crushing him.
Hey, that's a little rude.
He was messing with them. Like they laughed about it, but all and right. Then he signed his baseball, so he got a Joey Crable autograph. But I thought it was funny, like because Albie knew about the Little League World Series and all the kids signing the jerseys. So
right.
I know that what came into his like, wow, Joey Crable wants me to sign his glove. It's like, no, he doesn't. That was it for that game.
Yeah, you like players messing with kids. I like to see that.
Yeah.
It's good to see.
Teach them to have a sense of humor.
Was that was did you stay for the whole game, Bert?
We did, yeah, whole game.
Was that I stayed for watching the whole game on my couch. I was disappointed. That was a disappointing ninth inning because there was no lights, no whistle.
Yeah,
no Batista actually, in the ninth. No
Batista. We talked about that because it was like the eighth inning. I'm like, all right, it's a one-run game. Unless we blow up here in the bottom of the eighth, we're gonna get to see Batista. We're gonna see the light show. We're gonna hear the whistle. But then, sure enough, there's nobody warming up. Coming into the top of the ninth and Dylan Tate stayed in. So yeah. And then someone told me later Batista had arm fatigue or something.
That's what Hyde said after the game. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's fine.
For
and,
a second.
He was probably prepping for that terrible lineup on Sunday. I don't know what that one has to do with the other, but just another excuse to bring that up.
But just a playoff hunt and players have arm fatigue. Can't go out there, pitch coach. I got some fatigue in my arm.
Can't let your superstar closer come in a game that matters.
Yeah. How about a little bit of Gatorade, Felix, and get in the game?
No, Dylan Tate's up for the test, though, and he was pretty lights out. I think they grounded into a double play to end the game. So it was fine, but I would have liked to have seen the light show in person.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed with that aspect of it, but
and they have used Batista an awful lot. I mean, I think the experience before that, you threw two innings.
Yeah.
When Hyde cared for a moment about winning that game against Toronto, but yeah, so they have been using him a lot.
So good times. Before
we get out of here, you want to touch on the just get your guys' thoughts on the new rules. Am I missing them? Yeah. The rules are bigger.
I mean, I think just a little bit we can talk about them, but we'll have the whole offseason also to really break them down and see how they could impact things.
Okay.
But yeah, go over.
Are you a fan or no?
Here's the top three, right?
Yeah, top three. What's the first
one? I was not saying, but you interrupted me.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Matt.
Bigger bags.
Yeah.
Bigger's always better.
No shift.
Yeah.
And
pitch clock.
Yeah.
I think aren't we all? I'm just going to assume we're all in favor of all these.
For all these?
Sure. I don't have any problem with any of them.
Here's what I would like. The bigger bag's cool. I want a bigger home plate so we can get rid of this stupid you can't block the plate rule. You do a bigger home plate, then they can block the plate.
Yeah, but then that makes the strike zone bigger.
No. You can have an inner plate and an outer plate. You can have the inner strike zone plate and then the tag plate. Like, you know, in my softball league, there's two home plates, and that's how they deal with the safety. I don't want two home plates at home, and I don't want two first base bags. But going a little bigger for safety, I'm all right with. I hate that the safety of the home plate catcher rule from the Buster Posey rule has changed the game in that part and has impacted that those play at the plates. What? I don't think any, but then I guess that would also be the argument of the shift and whether the shift would change the game or if the, in a good way or in a bad way. And I guess baseball has decided that it's been, the shift has been bad for baseball.
Yeah. And as far as home plate cut, I think it's just a small percentage of plays where it really counts or matters. But it's the thing that gets me with that play is like, there's this loophole that no one knows how to deal with. What if the ball like comes the last minute right in front of the plate and the catcher has to come right in front of the plate to catch the ball? Well, it's this obvious loophole that they don't know what to do with. And so I guess that's blocking, but there's nothing else the catcher can do. So it's just the gray areas around the play.
Well, and I think that's a little bit annoying. I think that gray area is why we've talked about it a good amount this season, because I think that happened early in the season on one game and all the managers took note of the third baseman coaches took note to send their guy because you can't block the plate. So
yeah. And it happened with Toronto. Kurt.
So then we saw more and more people doing it. So then we had more plays like this and it all comes down to the same issue. The ball gets there. It's a bang, bang play. You're blocking the plate, player safe.
And that poor Kirk guy for Toronto, he's still fat and big. He can't help himself if he's always blocking the plate, no matter where he stands. But Bert, other rules, are you on board with all of them? Even banning the shift?
I mean, I think it has to be done. I think the better option would have been to, I don't know. I
learn how to hit the other way?
Yeah. However many years the shift has been going on and batters still have not learned how to beat it.
All right, Chris Davis.
Still.
I know, but you're still seeing it today. So, yeah.
I know. It sucks. Guys who are hitting 197 could be hitting 300 if their egos could get past it.
Yeah, they care a little bit less about home runs and,
Get on base. Like what have we all learned from Moneyball? Get on base. You need guys who get on base. How do they get on base? Who cares? Just get on base. You can't score a run unless you get on base. But if you hit the ball into the shift, you're not getting on base.
Yeah, but the argument against that is there are really good professional hitters.
Why did you cut him off? I wanted to see how often he could say get on base.
Get on base.
There are really good professional hitters. I'm thinking about a guy on our team who plays catcher who can hit the ball to all fields, but still becomes victimized by the shift when they put four outfielders out there. And listen, all I care about is, do I think this means Chris Davis coming back? Yeah, I think it's possible Chris Davis comes back and resurrects his career. And that has me excited.
But this is last year of the contract? Aren't we done paying him after this year? Or is it next year?
Well, he's got deferred money for like 10 years or something. But
all right.
But I don't know his time on the team. But everything goes back to me, will this make the game more exciting? And will it mean more singles and doubles? And I think it will make the game a little more exciting. But the other part of me is kind of with Bert, learn to hit the other way. And also these power hitters who can only hit home runs batting left-handed and strike out all the time. I just kind of want these players not in the game anymore anyway.
Right.
I want players who know how to hit and hit tall fields. But when you're shifting Adley, you've gone too far with it. Don't mess with Adley.
I think that's where the shift – that's where the turn went on the shift is when suddenly you were shifting in either direction on every single player.
Yeah. And I don't know. The Orioles might benefit more than other teams because, as you talked about before, they moved the left field wall back.
Right.
And we have a lot of left-handed hitters, right, who hit the right field. And so a lot of our young players are left-handed. So maybe they'll benefit from because I think the left-handed hitters get victimized more by the shift than the right-handed hitters. But
I think all it would have taken would have been an organized movement by all of the hitters who were constantly hitting into the shift to be like, look, yeah, if all they needed to do was spend a few months bunting to force them the defense to be honest, then they would stop shifting on them. But nobody ever did it, so the offense won. the battle of the shift.
So now baseball has to change since the offense
defensive strategy goes out the door then, because now they made a rule where you cannot be defensively strategic.
Was it DJ Stewart that we talked to years ago over at Bowie, and you were talking about him trying to hit more singles or doubles, and he said something about how the Orioles want him to just be more aggressive and be swinging at the ball and going for these home runs.
Four pitches before he swung.
Yeah. So I mean, that was the way of baseball.
But the other thing I'm excited about with the shift, the banning the shift, is how teams will get around it. Like what I expect to happen, I didn't read all the fine print. I don't know what the rule is as far as you have to have your cleats in the dirt or whatever.
I think it's the number of guys on each side of second base.
Two men on either side of second.
If you got a guy like Mateo, the second the pitcher releases the ball, am I going to see Mateo sprinting across the field to get to the other side of the field? To do a shift after the ball's thrown? Is that going to happen? Because I would love that.
That would be fun. It'd be like a secondary in football. Like Ed Reed. You think he was going to rush the quarterback. Nope, he's out. He's running out deep.
Or like, is it arena football where the receivers get running starts before the ball's hiked? Like all these guys will be sprinting before the ball's pitched just so they can cross the right time to get there.
I don't know, but all that sounds exciting.
Yeah. I don't think there's an answer to this question, but I'll pose it. Has there been any word on what the penalties are for when these new rules, at least as far as the shift and the pitch clock?
I wonder violated? How. Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. I wonder pitch clock, how much will be enforced? I wonder about these things.
I mean, is it a balk? Is it count as a ball? Is it count as a free base?
In the minors, I believe it's a ball if you don't pitch it in the correct amount of time.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the shift. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. And is a full foot has to be on the infield dirt or just the toes? I don't know.
The penalty for the shift is also a ball. But the opponent team can decide to accept the penalty or not. So it's basically when they hit the ball, it would be if the hitting team reaches base and the runner advanced on the ball because of the shift, it's weird because it's based on they don't wave the play dead before the pitch or before the hit. It's all based on after the hit.
Right.
And that the penalty of the shift would be a ball on your next person, which tells me, well, why don't we give up that ball in order to make the out? And then on the pitch clock, if the pitcher has not started the motion to deliver a ball before the expiration of the clock, he will be charged with a ball. If the batter delays entering the box, he will be charged with a strike.
Oh man.
Yeah, but again, the enforcement of it, right? I'm curious to see how the enforcement goes.
Yeah, especially those bigger bases. How do you enforce those? Run out with a tape measure?
Based on the umpires I've seen lately, they're going to relish the opportunity to make this all about themselves. That's probably
true. Right. Considering the strike zone doesn't work, how's the rest of this going to work?
Yeah, and Josh is over here talking about a big home plate and a small home plate when these incompetent idiots can't even call a ball or strike correctly.
What we really need is just electronic strike zone.
Agreed.
No, I disagree completely. I think it's a disaster. But
what's a disaster? The guys who can't call a ball and strike?
I got a question.
Did you see that whole fiasco last night between the umpires wouldn't let the pitcher throw a warm-up pitch?
Yeah,
because I said so.
Get
out of here with that. Who do you think you are?
And
how many people bought tickets to see him?
That dude should be suspended. But if you watch any of these stupid computer ump games, you'll see some crazy balls caught as strikes. And also, we have freaking Adley Rutschman, strike stealer extraordinaire. I want him to be stealing strikes every chance he gets.
Hey, speaking of catchers, did you see on the Nats game today, the catcher's wearing a microphone? Why have I not noticed that on any other catchers this year? I thought that the new thing, they type it on their arm, like they press the buttons on their arm, and then it tells the pitcher what.
I thought it was on their leg, like under their knee.
Yeah, somewhere under their knee, and I've seen it on your arm.
Okay.
But he was wearing a microphone, which I've never seen before.
Yeah. That's a bold strategy because it seems like the batter could maybe hear.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I didn't understand. Saw that.
All right, ready to get out of here?
Yeah, it's fun to have Bert back.
Yeah, yeah, Bert, thanks for coming on. Thanks for story time.
I'll come back on if we make the playoffs.
I didn't even beg Bert to come on. He came on his own.
Yeah, man. Well, you asked me last week, and I wanted to, but we were just – I was beat after that long drive back from Cleveland, and I figured I'd rest up and spill the beans a week later.
Oh, man. You're just like Hyde. I need the off day. Give me some off days. I'm working too hard here. I need the off days.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference between me being a 42-year-old man and 23-year-old professional athletes. I don't feel bad for them.
And we're not exactly in a playoff hunt right here.
No,
yeah. as a podcast,
I got nothing to lose. Yeah.
Hey, did you know that we got a new review on iTunes this week?
I did not know.
5 stars. I like to listen to this show. That was the subject.
That's what I'm talking about. Simple, sweet, to the point.
Then he gets, no, that was the heading. Then he gets into it.
I thought that was it. I was like, that's good. Okay. Yeah.
No, I like that, but he gets better. This may be the best Orioles-focused podcast. I wouldn't suggest that Josh and Matt are the pinnacle of Orioles and baseball knowledge. Josh charmingly mispronounces players' names basically in every episode, and they aren't as up-to-date on the farm system as some Oriole fanatics. That said, they are hardcore Oriole fans and are current on Orioles and Ravens news and banter. The thing that separates this show from other Baltimore pods is the host chemistries. As brothers who have done this podcast for years, I love to listen to them talk sports or even especially local scam artists. Zany Burt is a great addition to the group, even though he isn't as detailed as the main host. I really enjoy hanging out with these guys once a week and highly recommend this show for any Orioles fan.
He probably doesn't know that Bert was an OG. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like that OG. This guy came on board after Bert.
Yeah. We have a new special guest, Bert, who just heard about the show and decided to join. Yeah.
No,
by the way, speaking of mispronouncing, I need to, what didn't we used to do like corrections or apologies or something?
Yeah.
I just realized I was mispronouncing Willie Stargell from Pittsburgh. I kept saying Stengel. I'm thinking of Casey Stengel. Yeah. Willie Stargell. Apologies if you're still listening this far.
And I don't think I mispronounced any names this week.
Yeah, I took your part.
I think I avoided names. Unless Aguilera. I'm probably pronouncing that one wrong.
Yeah, it's just Aguilar.
Is it Aguilar?
Yeah.
You're thinking of Christina.
There we go. All right. That's for the review.
That's right.
I keep saying I'm going to go through... Because what is this episode 483? And we did a lot that didn't have numbers on them. And then we did times where we would do the split where it was 483 orange and 483 purple. So we did. We've done so many episodes. I keep saying I'm going to go back to all the story times and just edit them together as like a mass, its own podcast for so people can catch up with the Zany Burt.
There are some classics. Story time.
Yeah. Yep.
The time I met Bill Nye, the science guy. Well, I think we dedicated a whole episode to that.
I mean, yeah. We recreated a comic book.
Yeah.
Out of our story time.
That was I think I brought that up for a story time and then we turned it into like a YouTube animation thing. So that was cool.
Good times. All right, boys and girls. Write us a review like that guy. Say, you know, keep it short and simple and sweet. You like, it's a good show. You like to listen. That's all it takes.
And then go to birdlandsports.com and get a shirt.
Do that too. There's shirt designs coming. 20 new shirt designs every single day on sale now.
I want a pretty good pace of at least one a day, maybe 5 a week.
It is blowing up on my Instagram.
Yeah. I'm also trying to force myself to use social media for it. So,
okay. I'm still waiting for an Aguilar shirt, but I guess I keep on waiting.
No, all right. Here, I got a question for you guys, and I guess for the listeners too. Here's the shirt I'm debating about putting out. I want to put out a Nashville Orioles shirt. Just for all the naysayers that every 2 months are saying this team's moving to Nashville. Well, I'm like, let's just make a Nashville Orioles shirt.
I would be mad if I ever saw anyone wearing that.
I know, me too, but that's why I'm considering making it and putting it out.
I think a Nashville Nationals is more realistic.
I mean, yeah, the Nats are for sale.
Nashville Nationals.
We're getting ready to be about for sale.
Yeah, so are the Orioles. We'll get to the John Engel article next week.
All right, we'll do that next week.
Yeah.
A little brother and brother update.
they're hating on my man Brady Anderson. I got to get him into that.
Mm. Oh, and I like in the late. I like that now the mom's weighing on like John.
Yep, man. Yeah. That's mom picking favorites with the kids.
Yeah, well, there's a favorite. One kid got left out, and that kid's whining.
Yeah. All right, well, follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Section 336. Bert's on Twitter, too. Bert, did you tweet out pictures and stuff of your time?
I put them on Instagram. I'm on Instagram at Bert Rohde. If you want to see my Pittsburgh and Cleveland pictures, I'll do more Instagram than Twitter these days. Even that's not that much, though.
All right, you follow Josh on Twitter.
At Josh Sirocco.
Yeah, or Birdland Sports, right? At Birdland Sports for all that.
Yeah, for the T-shirts.
Merch.
Hey, I'm enjoying it.
All right, well, I'm glad you are. All right, boys and girls, thanks for listening. And as always, go O's.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.